Jesus was positioned for that, and then he announces it. Look what he says in verse 17. From that time on, I'm back in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So Jesus takes this move back to Nazareth, and just as Matthew is indicating, he takes upon himself this proclamation that the rule of God is invading the earth. And this is the beginning of the end of chaos. This is the beginning of the end of darkness. Repent. Another way of saying, change your mind about the world as it is. See it this way. Take a different viewpoint. Repent that there is a king in town to rule the earth. We understand what Matthew is saying, but it's awfully hard to buy it. When the tent flaps are blowing in the wind and the darkness is pervasive, it's awfully hard to believe it. But I must tell you, when I've been laying in that tent at night and waiting through the storm, I keep looking just out the flap for that one ray of sun that'll come peeking over the horizon. Because when it comes, you know, there's a new hope. There's a hope that says, night's going to pass. Sun is a-coming. Day is coming. And vacation will be what it ought to be. Matthew is saying here, the sun has come. The light has shone for people, a great light. And if you will see it, it changes your perspective on all of life. That the beginning of the end of chaos has come. Several years ago, my family and I visited Carlsbad Caverns. I don't know if you've been to Carlsbad Caverns. Amazing place. You of course, go down into these caves, and you keep going down, and you go way down into the caverns. And so much so that you're really glad you have a guide in front of you to get you back out, because, you know, there's a whole line of people, and you're kind of beginning to wonder, you know, am I going to get out of this place? And then they turn off the lights. Now, you have never been in darkness like the darkness of a cave far underground. There is no light for a long, long ways. You can't see anything. I mean, you can touch your hand to your nose. You will not see your hand. And I remember standing there in that dark with my kids and my wife, not able to see them, not even knowing where they are, knowing there are people around, but I can't see a one of them. And flashing through my mind was this strange, strange thought that maybe the lights won't come back on. Maybe we won't get out of here. And then there would be this rather strange sense of joy as the guide would turn on a light. And then the lights would come back. And you thought, you know, I'm not out of this cave yet. I'm still in the middle of this black, dark hole. But it sure is good knowing that there's light to take me back. Matthew says, the light has come. You might still be in the cave. Life is not yet the way it ought to be, but the light has come. And he's going to take us and change our world to make it the way it ought to be. The rule of God on the earth, Jesus brings it. If that's true, if we really believe that is true, how do we respond? What does God want from us if we really buy the fact that Jesus, the ruler, has come to initiate this rule of God? Well, he illustrates it for us in the next few verses. And the first thing he wants us to do is follow hard after Jesus with all we've got. To follow this ruler, to align ourselves with this ruler above everything else. And we see it as he calls his first disciples. Follow along with me as I read verses 18 through 22 here in Matthew chapter 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, verse 18, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men, fishers of people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Note the response that these men make when the king comes to them, when the ruler of the world comes to them. They followed him above all else. We first see the example of Peter Peter and Andrew, his brother, as they are casting their nets into the lake. They're fishing. They're making money. They're putting food on the table. They are doing what they do best, which is fishing. And if you've ever been along the Sea of Galilee, you understand it's filled with fish. Great stuff. Not doing anything wrong. Just doing what they're supposed to do. And Jesus comes, and I suspect that there were lots of people along that shore. He singles them out and says, "You, follow me." He issues to them this rather authoritative call. And they immediately, this is the surprising thing, they immediately drop their nets and follow him. Now, I don't know if they actually thought, "Well, what about my wife? I don't know if they thought about what about my suitcase? I left my American Express card at home." I don't know what kinds of thoughts came through their minds. I don't know if they had any hesitation, but the way Matthew describes this is that Jesus called and immediately they left their careers to follow him. They put following Jesus above all else. And then the next couple lines tell us about these two sons of Zebedee, James and John, who also encountered the call of Jesus. And it's almost a sad scene. There's Father Zeb sitting in the boat, and they go after Jesus. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying you should have no honor or respect for your parents. Clearly, other places he teaches just the opposite. But the action here that it's put so demonstrably, so visibly, is that these men are going to leave that which would normally cause them to cling and stay away from this new ruler of the world. They would normally stay with their father. And Jesus is so compelling to them. They turn from that to follow this Jesus. I take it they realize he's the ruler of their world. Could it be that the response of these men is the response that our God expects from all of us in some way? That if we are really convinced that Jesus is the ruler of the world, that the light has come, that we will follow him above all else, that we will pursue him above all else. I think in a sense this is true for all of us. It's a reordering of our priorities. It's a call for us to go home and say, "Man, what have I invested my time and my energy in? Does entertainment capture me? Is my love for music taking all of my affection? Is my desire for sports or hobbies or even a career distracting me from following hard after Jesus?" It's a call to follow him that's true for all of us. And yet I wonder if there's also here a sense in which this call is so authoritative for some that there would be some here in this room who, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, would truly leave to follow him. Some of you are young and you're looking at careers and you're looking at college majors. You're looking at what to do with your life. And maybe God would say to you through Jesus, follow me on a full-time basis. Ministry here, ministry overseas. Follow him. Some of you are nearing the end of perhaps a career, a wonderful career here in the U.S. And you've wondered what you're going to do to finish. Yeah, you could keep going a few more years and store up a little more Social Security and work on that IRA just a little bit more. But perhaps Jesus is confronting you with this challenge. Follow me. And you've got an opportunity to finish well in a different way. Some of you are retired, and maybe you're looking back and saying, I only got a little energy left. And maybe it's for you that Jesus is saying, follow me. There are places for you, even in full-time devotion to Jesus in service, that might fit. How do we respond? How do you respond if Jesus is really the ruler? You follow him above all else. One other response. We'll have to move quickly. Jesus heals the sick. And when he does, he invites us to bring the hurting to Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and following. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Notice it's the gospel of the kingdom. Here's the gospel. The gospel is the ruler has come. And he's going to make things the way they ought to be with the rule of God on earth. And he's healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. What happens here is that people brought the hurting to Jesus. People brought the hurting to Jesus because they were convinced, here's the one who rights the wrongs. Here's the one who brings order out of chaos. Here's the one who makes things the way they ought to be. And in demonstration of the power of his kingdom, Jesus heals paralyzed. And he touches brains, and he touches weak limbs, and people are healed, and he casts out demons. Amazing. And we have no promise today that Jesus will do this all the time. I want to be heard very clearly on that. But here is a foretaste of what the kingdom of God will be like when the rule of God invades our earth fully. This is what it'll be like. What a wonderful thing. How do you respond? I think we do what these people did. We bring the hurting to Jesus. He's not physically present, right? You can't run off to Galilee and take them there. But we can bring them to him in prayer. My friends, we don't do this very often. But I'm going to ask us to pray. I don't want you to talk about people. I don't want you to get requests. I want you to huddle up in groups of three or four. I'm going to take 3 minutes. I want you to think of one person or two who's hurting. You don't have to mention their name if you don't want to. The Lord knows who you're praying about, who you're thinking about. I want you to pray with each other and pray that God would heal, not for their comfort, but for the demonstration of the rule of God upon this earth. May God be pleased to demonstrate his rule in the healing of people who are brought to him. Would you pray with someone? If you feel uncomfortable praying out loud, then just gather with others. Someone will lead in your group. 3 minutes, go. Just pray. And so, our Father, we ask that you would be pleased to demonstrate your rule upon the earth, even in healing some who are close to us. For Jesus' sake, amen. I've discovered there are two kinds of campers. There are those that when the wind howls and the rain starts pelting and the flaps start shaking, they fold up their tents real quick. They get in the car, they head away, and they don't come back. And then there are some, call them crazy, they get out and they pound the stakes down a little harder. They tighten the tie downs a little tighter, and they say, "We're staying because I know morning's coming and chaos will end." My friend, chaos will reign for a while. Stay with him, follow Jesus, and bring your hurting to him.